Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Faulkner is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Faulkner.
On Insight. On this finally beautiful Wednesday night. Hello, Mr. Neil. How are you?
All right, Jack. How about you?
Very good. And we welcome in studio the honorable, the much appreciated Dr. Ed Hosbach.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Hi.
I tell you what, when you think of Fort Recovery and people that have given a lot back to the community, your name is definitely up at the top of the list.
Well, thank you.
So, now, I don't necessarily know if it's for your top 10 list, but at least your name's up there
for
the top. That's right. So, I tell you what, Doc, we're going to talk about you and your business and how you came into town, and then you kind of had a recent career change, I think, and, you know, just kind of, you know, catch up with, you know, Dr. Hosbach and, you know, what you're up to. So let's go back to the very beginning, I guess. Family.
Yeah. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, so I was really close by. I went to undergrad at The Ohio State University, got my an engineering degree there, and then went on to get my DO degree, or Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine, at Ohio University. So I've been to both of the Ohio schools.
Yeah.
And then met my wife at Ohio State, and she is a Coldwater native, Therese. She was a Canny, and that's what brought me back to this area. So after I was done with medical school and a residency, I trained down at Grandview in Dayton. Lyle Schmidt at Mercer at the old Coldwater Hospital.
Yeah.
I came and talked to him, and he says, I got a community that I think would really like to have a young physician. And that was Fort Recovery. He said, I think you'll really thrive there. So I came here, drove around, just kind of loved it, and set up shop. That was 1989. And I started my family practice. So I was just at Hospec DO with a shingle out there.
Yeah.
And and it's been a trip since.
Yeah. So coming out of medical school, okay. So you've been in school for 10 or 12 years at that point, right?
Yeah, you had 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, and then a year of internship and a year of family practice residency.
So, wow.
Yeah, I was 30 years old when I got my first job.
Well, you know what? There's kids doing that all over the place now.
Yeah.
So a lot of them aren't doctors, though.
No. So, as you got out of school, I'm assuming because of your wife and family, that coming back to this area was...
Yeah, it was a priority for Therese.
Yeah.
As they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
And, you know, coming back to a small community, like I kind of grew up in the city. That was attractive to me, too.
Yeah. So, how in the hell do you get started? You know, I mean, you know, because... Anybody can put a, you know, shingle on the door and say, the doctor's in.
Well, I mean, I did have some help from the hospital to start with. They helped me out, get me started as far as, you know, kind of guaranteeing some salary for the first couple of years so you can get it built up. And the building here is actually owned by them. By the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always rented. I never really owned that building out there. So, you know, hire a couple employees, you set out your name, and then you kind of start showing up at all the chamber meetings and just kind of get your word out. And I think that, if I recall right, I mean, it's kind of been a bit of a revolving door in town with the family docs. So I think I had to kind of convince them that I was going to stay. So it was a little tough. But, they knew my wife, the family, and since then they knew I probably wasn't going to go anywhere from that standpoint, that kind of helped. And then you just start seeing people. And I remember Charlie Hine was my very first patient. I still remember.
Really?
We probably talked for an hour. You know how you can talk.
Yeah.
I had nothing else to do either at that point. So I kind of got all the lowdown about the town. He kind of told me about history and all that kind of stuff. And then, I just seemed to take off every day, see a few more, word of mouth. And
what a great first patient to have.
Yeah.
You know, because when you think about somebody who is going to spread the word, I can't imagine anybody touching as many people or doing it in any more of a positive light than what Charlie would.
Yeah, I probably didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. You didn't know you were being interviewed, did you?
Yeah, really. Yeah, probably. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So was the building out past the bowling alley the one that you started in?
Yeah, I think it had been built maybe 2 years before that. I mean, it was a relatively new structure.
Okay, you wasn't sure when.
I didn't remember anybody being in there before you.
Yeah, it was Dr. Pagala, I think.
Oh, okay. But he didn't live around here, and he didn't, as far as I could tell, he didn't do much. Well, he might have had plenty of patients, but he didn't do much around.
I think we were both in the building about a year. Left.
You've got a family now?
I do. I have four daughters. Four girls. So, yeah, that's a joke because I grew up with two sisters. I have four daughters. I worked with all women. I had to get out and golf with the guys, get a little testosterone and everything.
Yeah. So how old are your daughters?
Oh, the oldest, Bethany, would be 27. She's been married 5 years. I got Angie, who's 25. She lives out in Denver, Colorado. She is married. And then Janelle, my third daughter, is 23, and she lives in Columbus right now. And then my youngest, Kim, is a junior at Ohio State, and she's 21. Just turned 21.
Cool.
Yeah, got a great
party. Are you grandpa?
Not yet. No. I hear it's cool, yeah.
It's cool. It really is. So, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and come back and talk about your business and exactly what the osteopathy is that means and stuff, and we'll be back right after this.
It's Lent and it's time for fish, and Brick Street Tavern has several great seafood choices. We have two great Friday night supper specials. There's our all-you-can-eat breaded pollock for only $6.95 and a grilled salmon dinner for only $9.95. And both come with our large salad bar and choice of potato. And we have two Friday lunch specials, a two-piece breaded pollock dinner with fries and slaw for only $5.25 and our endless soup and salad bar for only $5.95. So for a change of pace and a great meal where you don't have to stand in line to eat, stop in to Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery every Friday during Lent for one of our great specials.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having their Battle of the Brains again this year on Sunday, April 15th from noon to 3. Get your four-person team together along with an alternate, get yourself a sponsor, and get signed up now. The cost is $75 per team. Your team can be a group of friends, co-workers, family, even a group of students, at least 7th grade, please. Pick up your entry form at the high school office or by going to FortRecoveryschools.org and clicking on Battle of the Brains 2018 and downloading the application. And new this year, there will be a fun trivia round for anyone to participate in. Just show up, get a group of four people, and you can be in the fun trivia part of the contest. And the best part, there's no charge to get in the fun trivia contest. Just show up and have fun. And even if you don't want to be in either the formal contest or the fun pop culture trivia rounds, stop by and be amazed and entertained by how smart your friends and neighbors are. It's the Battle of the Brains on Sunday, April 15th. Be sure to get entered now by going to FortRecoverySchools.org and clicking on Battle of the Brains, or pick up your application at the high school office. The
Fort Recovery VFW is having their annual fish fry every Friday during Lent. They'll be serving their all-you-can-eat fish from 4:30 to 7 for only $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and younger. And it's not just the great fish they're serving up. They also have baked beans, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, fruit, and more, and coffee is included. So head on out to the VFW west of Fort Recovery on State Route 119 for your Friday night Lent supper. Just $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and under for their all-you-can-eat fish and more every Friday night during Lent.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And we're with Dr. Hasbach, and we were just talking about how Doc ended up here. So, she went to Ohio State for engineering.
Right.
You got your degree.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know what? I love this engineering field just enough that I want to be a doctor.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of the, I kind of had the doctor thing in mind as I was, and I found out that Ohio State actually has a pre-med electrical engineering program. It's already set up the curriculum. So I said, well, if I don't make med school, what would I want to do? And that's what I wanted to do. So it actually worked out perfect. And it, you know, I was kind of thought too, I mean, as far as a pre-med education, what was nice about it is, you know, unlike biology and all those other things where it's all just memorization,
yeah,
where engineering, you got to solve problems. I mean, you got to take a bunch of data, figure out, you know, what it is to solve problems. So really it translates well into medicine because
really
what are you
does.
Doing? You're solving problems.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much remembering things. You just look things up, you know, and then,
yeah,
but it kind of made me think critically, and that was nice.
And then you decided not just to go in to the medical field, but you want to be a doctor of osteopathy.
Yeah, well, DO, there's two licensed physicians in the United States, MDs and DOs.
Okay.
So and by the time I came along, basically the practice rights were equal. And the education is pretty well equal at the same time. Again, 4 years of med school, you got to do residency, all that kind of stuff. They do have certain hospitals that are owned by DOs. There's specifically where osteopathic hospitals, like Grandview down in Dayton was one. There's doctors in Columbus. That type of stuff. So, I mean, the fundamental kind of difference is with osteopathic medicine versus, say, you know, what the MDs do is, I mean, we honestly take the similar tests, learn all the material, but back in the Civil War days, there's a man named Andrew Taylor Still out of Missouri. And he lost a wife and child to meningitis. And he's like, you know, there's just got to be a better way. So this is before chiropractors were invented by Palmer. He came up with the school of osteopathic medicine. And his theory was that if the body's in balance by the circulatory system, the musculoskeletal system, and the neurologic system, that the body can heal itself. So he came up with all these manipulative maneuvers. And again, it was this holistic kind of thing. Well, the profession, they started opened up a medical school in Kirksville. And then just, you know, as the profession is evolved. So as I was training in medical school, learning all the biology, all the anatomy, all that kind of stuff, I'm also being taught musculoskeletal medicine, you know, manipulative medicine.
Yep.
So that's a talent that we have that, say, the MDs do not. So it's incorporated. It's not just fixing backs. It's, say, if you come in with asthma, I'm going to look at the area of the spine where the nerves come out that supply the lungs. I'm going to look at how your ribs move, okay, because so the lungs can expand, yep, and heal itself. So I can prescribe, and we had all practice rights. There was DO ophthalmologists, neurosurgeons. I mean, the profession is kind of parallel. But that additional musculoskeletal training really came in handy for the sports medicine, you know, as team,
yeah,
physician, along those lines. And just people come in, and again, you cure a man's back, he's your friend for life. So
yeah,
we were talking earlier about how the practice kind of grew. I think that helped me around as well. But again, you know, the DO philosophy is just that holistic. You know, let's look at the patient as a whole. Let's not just look at the small area of them.
Very good. So then you started your practice. It got roots. At what point did you become so involved with the schools?
Gosh, I think that was right off the bat. I mean, I remember doing basketball. I mean, of course, we didn't have football back then.
Yeah.
But I think I remember doing basketball pretty early. If not the first year, it would have been the next.
Really?
And then...
So was there, like, was there always a love of
Yeah, sports medicine.
Sports,
yeah,
that kind of drove that to you.
Right, right. Yeah. Yep. And as I was training, you know, I did sports medicine rotations. I'd go off and do my CME, American College of Sports Medicine, would have courses and stuff like that. So that was, yeah, that was a real interest of mine. And back when I first started, there really, gosh, Salina might have had an athletic trainer, but there just wasn't anybody really around that kind of knew that. So that kind of helped me, too. I was getting a lot of the athletes, even from St. Henry, from Arias Fine. And just, again, you know, I'm an engineer, right? It's mechanics. The body's a fantastic machine, so I really love scratching my head. And, the whole idea of the rehab and stuff like that, you know, getting them moving. And I'd use my manipulation as well, you know. To try to get them healed up
for
quicker.
You, in 25 years or so, you had the best seat in the house.
I love it, with the kids. And most of the time, I kind of jokingly say I'm just sitting there doing nothing, and that's okay with me.
And that's okay, isn't that the truth? Yeah. But, you know, so as like you, so as your practice grew, you decided at some point to take on a partner, right?
Right, yeah. Well, I was in practice 5 years and get pretty darn busy. And then Dr. Feliciano from St. Henry died in that car accident. So St. Henry kind of approached me about, you know, having a doctor in their town. So at the same time, I was thinking about gaining a partner anyway. So Mark Brown was coming up to a doctor's care in Moonlighting up there. So I kind of met him. And he was from West Milton, which is pretty close. So kind of schmoozing him, that kind of stuff. We have pretty similar interests, and so the decision was then, along with opening up a practice in St. Henry, of which he would basically be based, and then that helped me out having a partner.
So cool. So you know, that was 5 years into it, so 1994, 1995 or so.
We formed that's when we formed Mercer Osteopathic as a common company. And
Dr. Brown's still around?
He is. We're still together.
So then at some point you decided to, or you know, maybe it was the business that decided to, just in the past
about two years ago. Mm-hmm.
You kind of got out of the business part of it, and you let Mercer Health take that over.
Yeah, Mercer Health has what they call the Med Foundation, which is just a group. That's the providers. So the OB-GYNs, the urologist, the other family practice, Dr. Mosser joined it then. When they were recruiting new physicians, and like the Winters, John and Michelle Winter. So that was a shell kind of the group. And so we're like shell's not a good term, but it's just a separate entity from the hospital. So we're not technically hospital employees. We're employees of this Med Foundation. But anyway, the whole idea was to have a provider group. And so I was kind of looking at the, you know, between doing my hospice work and doing my family practice and trying to run the business at the same time. It was just too much. It was getting busy. And also looking forward, there's just going to be a lot of challenges running a small practice from a, you know, from an expense standpoint. But from a measurement standpoint, we're getting into this more sophisticated, it's called pay for performance, where your quality is wants to, you know, want to measure quality. And so you need a pretty robust electronic medical record. So just a lot of expenses. And I kind of looked at it. So part of it was to relieve me of the running the business part of it. But the other thing is looking ahead, providing care to the community in what setting. I mean, if we honestly, and I do philosophically believe that, you know, about this pay for performance and, frankly, just quality. I think just to do moving forward, dealing with the insurance companies, dealing with the groups, there's going to be a lot of demands to have what we call care coordinators. That's a term we use when you got a full-time employee. It just basically follows up. Did the patient take their medicine? You know, are they coming out of the ER? How are they feeling? You know, do they need anything else? That type of stuff to help with their chronic diseases like diabetes, like heart failure. So we can partner up with the hospital resources, their dietitians, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, beyond just the sore throats and the simple things, if you're going to get into managing people's diseases or managing community health, that takes a lot of resources. So it's really hard to negotiate, you know, prices and stuff. This is the business part of it. But, I mean, you got to negotiate prices and reimbursement with the insurance companies and that kind of stuff. So I think looking forward to, as I was also transitioning more to the hospice side of it, I'm only part-time with the hospital. I'm 40% that. And 60% hospice now.
Yeah.
That it made more sense to do it part-time under the hospital. And then, and so all our, you know, Mark is now the same thing, and Bev Uhlenaker, nurse practitioner, and Sarah Collager, nurse practitioner. You know, we just all transitioned over to being employees. So that's not so bad. So it took some worries off me personally, and that was a nice thing. But it's also an opportunity to look at it in a much bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, in the county.
So you touched on the pay for performance thing. Okay, so you know, the average Joe Blow out there, okay, thinks, you know what, I'll make an appointment with Dr. Hosbach, I'll pay my $35 copay, and so he or she's thinking, well, if like he sees a patient every half hour and he makes $35 an hour, I mean, for each of those, it really doesn't work like that, does it?
Well, you know, the old system used to be, you know, kind of, if you think about it, you get paid so much per patient, and I would get the same amount as somebody that would walk in and walk out in 2 minutes. You know, it's kind of like a set amount. So the kind of the incentive there, you know, was really to see a lot of people, our high volume, and Mark and I were never like that. I mean, we always thought we at least try to, you know, give the person their due, but you know, other people would kind of just be churning. So, you know, it's just like a lot of other industries, the airline industry, all that kind of stuff. It's really the quality that matters. So, the payers, and Medicare being the big one, our government payer, Medicare, you know, saying, look, you know, we're paying all this money, but we aren't seeing the end results. Yeah, you know, and so instead of having a system that incentivizes just a bunch of volume, the term is pay for performance. So basically, now we're going to start measuring outcomes. You know, your diabetes. There's a lab test called a hemoglobin A1C that kind of gives you an idea of control. How many times is somebody going back to the hospital? How many times, you know, are they getting heart failure, say, where they have swelling and shortness of breath and things like that? So, you know, patients that keep getting readmitted, that's not good quality.
Yeah.
And again, you only have so much control, you know, over that. But the whole idea is that practices that control those well and cut down on costs, your patients aren't going back to the ER constantly. They've got a place, you know, they can call for illness and that type of stuff. Then if they can start saving money, you know, based on quality. So the incentive, and they're going to, you know, so the payments will be based more instead of just how many you're seeing versus how well you're doing. You know, are people's health getting better? So it's kind of win-win. You know, people are healthier, and at the same time, then say I wouldn't have the pressure necessarily to see somebody every 10 minutes. You know, maybe it makes more sense to spend the 20 minutes like I should be or could be, and make sure that the quality is there. So it kind of shifts. So, you know, there's always going to be some reimbursement for how many you see, just to keep the doors open. But as part of that formula is where things are going, is going to be based on results. So again, you got to be able to measure results. So again, you know, unfortunately, you have to have an investment in a good health record system that can track all that stuff.
So as like, I tell you what, when like we come back, we're going to talk about the effect that Obamacare had on your practice, and if it was a good thing or a bad thing, and we'll be back right after this.
Klingtron & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingtronandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtron & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs. Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. And be sure to stop by on Friday at lunch for their Lent buffet featuring shrimp and their famous hand-breaded fish, along with their full salad bar and more. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274.
Gore's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Gore's, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Gore's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Gore's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087. Hi, this is Dan Redmond from VCTS Racing. I wanted to invite you to join Corey Hensley and myself on Mondays starting March the 12th at 7 p.m. for the Vores Racing Report. We will talk NASCAR racing as well as racing at the surrounding local tracks as well as VCTS racing. So tune in Mondays starting March 12th and go racing with us. Go to FortRecoveryRadio.com or download the free TuneIn app and search Fort Recovery Radio. Don't forget, it's the Vores Racing Report every Monday night at 7 p.m. on Fort Recovery Radio, starting Monday, March the 12th.
Here's a great event coming up in the Fort Recovery area. On Sunday, April 8th, it'll be the American Legion Ladies Auxiliary Annual Breakfast from 8 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon. It's all-you-can-eat sausage, pancakes, scrambled eggs, baked goods, and more, and your beverages included, milk, coffee, and orange juice. It's only $6 for adults, $3 for children 4 to 8, and kids 3 and under are free. Head on out to the Legion on Sunday, April 8th for the Ladies Auxiliary Breakfast from 8 to 12:30.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Neil Spencer.
Hello.
And Dr. Ed Hosbach. So, Doc, we were talking off air a little bit about Obamacare and how, from your vantage point, you really didn't see a whole lot of effect from it.
No, I mean, I don't know if we personally, and had a lot of folks that around here that, because most of them, you know, are employed through small, there's some of the farmers that were independent, but yeah, we didn't deal a lot with that. And it was, I mean, it was just as hard for me to understand it as the average citizen. As we were also talking on air, right now the exchange, there's only one provider in the county. I mean, you have one choice, and it varies from location to location, but yeah, I mean, some of them have got out of it because, you know, the government reimbursement to them.
Yeah.
And who knows with the new administration where it's going to go.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So let's toss politics aside. And you've talked about the kind of the transition that you're making from the family practice into the hospice field.
Yeah, I mean, I've been involved with hospice. I think Mercer County used to have their own hospice, and I got involved in that in the early, like, maybe 92. I mean, I was only in practice maybe 2 or 3 years, and I was a medical director for them. And then Hospice of Dark County joined up. They merged with them. And for that group, then I was an assistant medical director for probably about another 10 years. And then I became the medical director. And then they rebranded to State of the Heart. So when you hear State of the Heart, that's the old Hospice of Dark County, State of the Heart Care now. So I've been their medical full medical director for about the last 7 years. So it is, as they've grown, then that's been kind of a natural transition for me. I was there, I was doing work with them maybe 1 to 2 days a week, and then things frankly just got so busy, and that's good and bad, you know,
obviously. Yeah.
So I decided to go ahead and shift a little more time even to, so I do 3 days a week with the hospice, and then 2 days a week here in the office, because it's hard for me to totally give up my family practice.
Sure.
You know, you're having a down day.
That's your baby.
I tell you, go do a six-month well-child check, and that just makes your day. I
mean, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, explain to me the role of a doctor in hospice.
Well, there's a couple hats you wear. One is the administrative hat. So when somebody enters hospice, they need to be certified by me that they're hospice eligible. Let's just talk about that a little bit. You know, who is hospice eligible? I mean, hospice technically is a Medicare benefit. In other words, Medicare patients and somebody who's ill, it's an actual benefit paid. But it kind of transcends across, you know, everybody. You don't have to be in Medicare. But basically, the definition to be hospice eligible is that you've got a terminal illness around 6 months. Okay, so you've got around 6 months to live. Now, it's not a hard deadline, obviously. Right. Some folks die earlier. Others, we've had even for a year, year and a half. It just depends. But you have to be seriously ill to the point where we think that you're going to pass in 6 months. And then, say, if you are, then once you enter hospice, then you have a whole team of resources available. You have a physician, and currently we mostly use the, say, if you have your own family doc, we try to do it through your own providers. Sometimes it's through the oncologist. If they have nobody, say they come up to the area from the VA, then I take care of them, so I'll be their hospice physician. And so, you know, we write orders, and again, the focus for hospice is comfort care, usually at that point. They decide not to pursue any aggressive treatment, you know, like chemotherapy or some of the, you know, radiation or those type of things. And that's both practicality and mindset. I mean, you know, they want to pursue, go back to hospital, say something happens. And once you enter the hospice program, the hospice is responsible for all the expenses, the medicines, you know, we do the nursing care. We have aides that come by, chaplain for social services, we have social service. We have this whole team. There's bereavement. There's this whole kind of thing. But anyway, we get paid so much per day. It's a per diem that we're responsible for basically all the care related to that diagnosis. Now, if you have, you know, a bad heart and then you break a leg or something, maybe we may not be responsible for that. But I mean, obviously we can't afford expensive chemo and radiation, yeah, and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just the practicality of it. But like I say, most patients that come to hospice at that time really just want comfort care.
Yeah.
You know, they just, we know where the journey's going. We just want to try to help them get there.
Yeah. So from a hospice standpoint, is that home health care only, or can you be, you know, at the
nursing hospital?
You can be a nursing home resident, then that basically is your home, and then our nurses come to there. So you kind of have two sets of nurses, your facility nurses as well as our nurse will visit. And again, our aide may come and do the bath and those type of things. So you can, and again, generally you can be in, you can't really be a hospital patient per se. You know, it wouldn't make sense, but you can be in the nursing
home
or the home.
There is a place at the Greenville, at the Dark County Hospital, where I ran into Dr. Hasbach
yesterday.
Let's
talk about that, exactly. We have an inpatient care center.
Yeah. So it's at the hospital, but it's not, but you're not in the hospital, I believe, is probably the best way to say it. As far as you're technically, you're not admitted, but you're at the hospital.
Yeah, you aren't. It's like a sovereign country kind of thing.
Yeah, and it is a completely separate unit that is just, four beds, I believe, or something
like
that.
It's five beds. It's the old ICU down at Wayne Hospital. Oh, okay. But basically, you're not part of the hospital as far as being not admitted as a patient. But we have these five beds, and for inpatient, our GIP would call it, inpatient unit. That's more for when you really have to troubleshoot things with IVs, just for more skilled care and more intensive care.
Okay.
So sometimes we bring folks in there just when we're in pain crisis.
Yeah.
It allows us to really focus on trying to get their symptoms better. And then, you know, some folks leave there and some folks don't. But
yeah.
That's a really super place. A lot of the patients that come from the Dayton hospitals we'll bring into there first. To try to get things settled down.
Yeah. So when you were talking about whenever you haven't had a very good day,
mm-hmm.
being able to go to your practice and have that 6 month wellness baby.
Yeah.
You know. So what is it about the hospice side of things that draws you to it?
Of course, I've always been relationship driven. I mean, that's kind of why I went into family practice. And, you know, so again, hospice is not only are you treating the patient, but you're treating the families. You know, you have to try to help them as well, too. And it's all about just trying to understand what the goals are and trying to troubleshoot that. In some ways, it's a different kind of medicine because, again, you're not worried so much about, you know, keeping somebody alive, obviously. Yeah. But you got to be really creative and just try to troubleshoot and just try to really, you know, ease that suffering. So it's kind of mentally challenging a little bit to try to figure out, again, you know, how can we help this person, you know, on that final part of the journey. But at the same time, you know, you just it touches your heart. And if people ask me, how can you do that all the time? Yeah. But it's rewarding in its different ways. I mean, you know, again, you're just trying to, these folks are just in a bad situation, you know, and you're just trying to understand it and help them through it.
And I think that once you come to the realization that, you know, that's the final journey for, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
So you want to have people there that are skilled and trained and can help make that as pleasant a part of that journey as you can.
And that's kind of where the advantage of our staff is. We have wonderful employees, you know, our nurses and all the other folks, our chaplain, all that kind of stuff. But it's a team effort, you know. And then we kind of, sometimes I break it down into, I'll have situations where the family's ready, but the patient isn't.
Yeah.
You know, the patient's ready, but the family isn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's what's beautiful is when patient and family are ready. Yeah. You know, and that's why we really emphasize those, and if you're listening to anything I say here tonight, it's having those conversations ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, so that there's, when somebody can't speak for themselves, it's, you know, we've had folks with strokes come in and just, you know, the family just, they kind of know what the wishes are. And so we just, but it's just a super struggle when something abrupt happens and they're like,
Or the different members of the family are.
Exactly. Sometimes those that have been out of town and haven't seen the decline, you know, it takes them a while to kind of adjust to, you know, it's just such an abrupt change.
So you've got four daughters.
I have four
that
daughters.
Are in various stages of early in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
One still in college. Did any of them pursue any of the medical field?
Not a lick.
No?
Not one iota, you know? And it was a couple of them, like the side of blood, so kind of ruled that out. And just, no, they kind of all just had different, you know, creative things different paths they took, but I don't know whether the fact that dad was never home a lot at first or what influenced them, but they, they just never had an interest in that. Now, you know, I got my engineer, my youngest Kimmy's a mechanical engineer student, so I kind of laugh about that.
Yeah. So when you have kids or new students, and I know that you've talked to a ton of new different high school mm-hmm. students, do you recommend the
field of medicine?
Doctor field.
Yeah, I still do. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, the talk is about the hours and about the pay and this is about and that. But I mean,
the legal part of it,
yeah. You know, people ask me what's the hardest part about being a doctor. I'd say it's the responsibility at times. You know, the rest of the stuff you can handle, but sometimes, when it's your call and sometimes things don't always go well, you got to kind of pick yourself up after that. But, for a lot of us, it's a calling. I mean, it's kind of the way it was for me going into it. I had some earlier experience, not to get too in depth, but just, you know, my mom's a recovered alcoholic, and so I was, we'd do Alateen and certain counseling, things like that, and it kind of drew me a little bit too, again, you know, that relationship and helping, and, I would tell the kids, look, you know, if you're just in it for the money, this may not be for you. I mean, you gotta kind of be in it, you know, for the, for the rewarding part of it. And just like I say, it's kind of got to be a little bit in your DNA. But the thing about medicine too is there's tons of variety. I mean, you know, you can, even if you don't want to be a doctor, just the whole field of medicine. I mean, there's got to be something you can find that interests you. And even within being a doctor, you can be an ER doc, you can be a radiologist. If you don't want to touch patients, you can be a pathologist. You can go into research. You know, there's all kinds of different things. But that's kind of why I try to, you know, I show them about family practices, the variety and the fun. Yeah. You know, it's like saying the beauty of practicing here in a small town and getting to know people is, you know, you don't have to order every test under the sun the first time you see them. You just take your best guess and go there and you tell them, call me back if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, then we'll try something different. Yeah. You know? So once you get to kind of know the families and know the people, you start seeing them back and stuff like that. And it's, yeah. But I'm seeing, you know, the kids of the kids at this point, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That is scraggly 12 year olds now or, you know, having their own kids, their older kids, and you're like, man,
I'm yeah.
That. Well, Doc, I tell you what, you've, you know, looking back over the last 30 years, I don't think there's any doubt that you can, you look back at what you've given to, you know, Fort Recovery with a hell of a sense of pride, and we appreciate everything you've done for us, and I know you've got to get going. You've got to talk to a religion class
tonight. Yeah.
So that's my next time. Thank you
question.
For coming.
I got yes. one question.
Okay.
For
okay.
So Doc, you have an unbelievable rapport with the kids because you have kids that went to Coldwater, and mm-hmm. you've been. And then St. Henry and your dog and for recovery. And that has to be so rewarding that everybody in the southern Mercer County area knows Doc Hossbach.
Oh, yeah.
And that's got to be,
yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I know that it's the money wise for the hours you put in, but the fact of the matter is, there's something about working with kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then we were talking earlier about why I do the sports medicine part. And that was just, that was just a great part of it. Yeah. And they know me better than I know them. I'm scratching my head. What's that kid's name again?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll tell you what. Thanks for coming on. I would love to have you back, and we can you know, talk about more stuff. And
well, and this truly has been, you know, it's been such a privilege, you know, coming here. I definitely think it was meant to be, because I think too over the years, I mean, we've had a blast. I mean, just a lot of fun. This is such a diverse, welcoming community. I mean, it's been great. Yeah. You know.
So cool. So, well, I tell you what, that's it for Insight tonight. Bubba is going to come and join me. I think you have what? Sports Talk at 8, but we'll start a little bit early.
We might as well.
Okay. So we'll be back right after this.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Spider-Man there?
I don't know where you can find Spider-Man.
What about Superman?
I don't know where Superman, Spider-Man, or any other superhero friends are.
Don't you always have something for everyone?
We do, with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more. And we always offer super prices for your coverage.
Super prices? I never heard of that, superhero.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
I remember a time when we didn't have to wear sweaters in the house to keep warm.
That was just a few months ago. It's called summer.
But now, why do we have to wear sweaters indoors?
Because we have a horrible heating system. And why are you talking like an old man? You're only 37.
Oh, I forgot. I'll call Reasoner Energy. They'll uncover any problems and give us solutions. I hear Reasoner Energy has been the go-to heating expert for years and years.
Stop it!
Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Are you a busy parent, married to your job, or just don't have the time to get to the grocery store? Worry no more. Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery has the answer for you. Shop online. It's as easy as ordering that pair of shoes you ordered last week. Log on to WayneStreetMarket.com, click on the Shop Online Now button at the top of the page, and start adding to your cart. The process is simple, and better yet, you pay online, drive to the store, and one of our friendly associates will bring your groceries out to you. You don't have to even get out of the car. Don't make life more chaotic than it needs to be. Take advantage of our online shopping today. As always, thanks for shopping your fast, friendly, and convenient grocery store.
Boy Scout Troop 99 will be hosting our annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Sunday, March 25th, from 8 o'clock a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery American Legion.
Tickets are $6 and includes all pancakes, sausage, and scrambled eggs. You can eat along with coffee and juice. Children 5 and under eat for free. Tickets can be purchased from any Boy Scout or at the door.
The Boy Scouts are also selling gun raffle tickets. A $10 ticket will enter you in a drawing for a chance to win one of 9 guns or a $100 cash prize. Tickets can be purchased from any of the Scout parents or at the breakfast on March 25th.
Thank you for your continued support of our scouting program. We look forward to seeing you at our pancake and sausage breakfast on March 25th at the Legion.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 8th at the Fire Hall. That's right, they'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. They're pre-sale only, so get your tickets from any of the firemen now, then stop down on Sunday, April 8th from 4 to 6 and pick up your chicken dinners. Just drive through the alley from the west and pull up to the window, and be sure to grab a couple of extras for a quick lunch during the week. Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 8th from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
We're back. This really isn't insight anymore. This is the
insight slash sports.
In this sports.
Pre-sports talk.
You know, Dr. Hosbach, you have to tip your hat off to that guy, you know, for doing what he does with the hospice stuff.
Yes.
And
anybody who does that.
Yeah. And all those volunteers and stuff. Yeah.
And some of them are paid, some are volunteers, and, you know, I drive for COPS and we do a lot of hospice deliveries. I think we deal with 5 or 6 hospice groups in 40 counties, and there are a lot, and I mean a lot of people who say, I wish we would have gotten hospice sooner.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is so stressful trying to figure out what to do, trying to do this. How do we do this? Just trying to figure it all out. Hospice has all that figured out. You don't have to think. You just say, yes, we need hospice. And they come in and they take care of a lot of things and show you what you need to do, which is mostly just be there for that person. But one thing that I think was maybe mentioned off the air but not on the air, they also have music therapy, which is Amy Pearson from here in Fort Recovery does all kinds of things with that. And it's just the people that I've talked to that where she's gone there, they just love it. And, you know, some of them are, you know, very lucid and they'll sing along. And some of them, it's just a nice calming thing for the patient who's highly medicated and the family. The music therapy is good. They have the chaplains. They have the people that just come and help you, just physically help you do things, the aides and all that. And it's just a really good thing. But most people I think it's called enrolled in hospice later than they should. It just helps the patient quite a bit and the family a huge amount. It takes the pressure off of trying to figure stuff out. So
they're named true to the fact that, you know, with the music therapy that they have Bill singing Edelweiss.
Well, they might. They haven't yet, but
put them out of their misery a little sooner.
That would do it. Yeah. Or I'm thinking Hana Maliki Maka or whatever it was.
Meli Kaliki Maka.
Okay.
Meli Kaliki Maka. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Kaliki Maka.
He can bring a tear to my eye whenever he sings those things.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.